All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Luke. Luke just graduated from college. Amen. Amen, Gary. Yeah, congratulations, Luke. The rest of you guys that are graduating from something, everybody's doing the graduation thing right now. Amen. I remember those days. Take your Bibles, be turning to Psalms chapter 22. This is a familiar verse to you. This is one of those messages, is our textbook message. This is a message I've preached before. I'll let you know that. Most preachers don't say that, but I do. This is one God laid on my heart, and I was praying about it and thinking about it. A lot of times I lay out a lot of things that I've preached before, and this time God said, man, this is what you need to preach. And so I don't know how many times you've heard it, but you're going to hear it again, okay? And this is, why do you preach something like this? Well, I want you to know, our families are under attack is what it is. We don't know how to define the family anymore. We don't know what a family really looks like. And those of us that are Christians, those of us that are believers, we need to be the ones defining what the family is. Amen? We don't need to let the world change us. We need to be working to change the world. And so we're the ones that, the Bible is the ones that define what a family really is. Okay, God's put all this together. This is, we're here for Him. He's not here for us. And we kind of forget that sometimes. And so here in Psalms 22 and verse 6, we try to take this as a promise, but a lot of us say, well, if that's a promise, it didn't work for me, okay? Don't take Proverbs like that, okay? Proverbs are sayings. They're short sayings about life, and it's not always a promise, okay? So here we go, Psalms 22, verse 6. You've heard this. Train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will what? Not turn from it. Anybody experienced somebody turning from it? All of us have, okay? So don't take that as a promise. We have to understand that. I mean, when I first got saved and everything, started having kids, I read that and think, well, man, boy, I mean, I got it made, okay? And then everything didn't work out like I thought it was going to, and that's just part of life sometimes. But so realize that. So today what we're talking about defining the family here. And so what is a family? Well, some people say it's people, it's only blood kin is what we would say in the South, okay? Or someone just living together is what the world is saying today. But also some people are just close. A lot of times what you find out is a lot of times that people around you, they're just close to you, they're more like your family than the people that are what we call kin to each other, okay? And so what is a family? Well, here's your textbook thing here, okay? Here's what I read. It says, a real family has it in it love, shared values, beliefs, traditions, common experiences, and support for each other no matter what. There's your textbook definition of what a family really is and what it looks like, okay? So a family is more than just being kin to each other, just being close to each other. It's more than that. It's something we have a shared bond. And so that's why the Bible tells us that the church is a family. There's a lot of people in today that are closer to their church than they are people that are in their, what we would say, are relatives, okay? I experienced that a lot at Harvest, the church I came from. That church was kind of unique. World Color had just came in. Beckhart had kind of taken off and some things. And so there was a lot of industrial coming into Dyersburg. And our church was a little church out past 5th and Solidated. And for some reason, a lot of those people started to come out there. I met a lot of people at the ballpark and started doing, I coached baseball and things like that. I met a lot of those folks and kind of, those folks kind of come because they got to know me because I was coaching their children. But before long, we looked out there and we realized that most of the people in our congregation was not from Dyersburg. A lot of them were from up north and they were here. And so it was a close-knit group because they didn't have their immediate family close to them. So the church began to become their family. And so they relied on each other. They went out to eat with each other. They, you know, when they had good times and bad times, that was who was there for them because their family were, you know, hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles off. And so it was a unique situation. But what it showed me is this, is how important the church really is. You know, for us here in at Mount Vernon, a lot of us, you know, we're kin to each other. We've lived here all our lives or things like that. And so, but it wasn't like that in that situation. And so it made me realize when the Bible describes the church as a family, that it makes us understand what a family means to us and how close it is. And so as I was there for about 11 years, you know, a lot of those people were there almost the whole time I was. And so what we would say is I'd ask them for holidays. I'd say, are you going home? You know, and finally, after about 5 or 6 years, they would say, I am home. And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, to me, I mean, I've lived here all my life, and so this is my home. And so anytime I go somewhere, I'm leaving home. But when I'd ask them, are you going home? They said, no, we're not going home. We're staying home this year, okay? So they had a transition in the way they thought and the way they looked at things. And so a lot of times, those people would spend time with people in the church that wasn't their relatives, but they were their church family because they had grown close with each other, and they wanted to spend time with each other. So realize what a family is and what it means to you. Let me read that again. A real family has its love and shared values and beliefs and traditions and common experiences and support for each other regardless of what happens. Amen? That's what a real family looks like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, thanking you for the lives that you put around us, the people that we share life with. And sometimes that's not the people that we're kin to, not the people that we are blood kin, Lord. It's just people that you bring into our lives. But God, they can be family, and we can be family as a church, Lord. And so help us understand it, that we need each other. And God, you remind us that our relationship with you and each other are the most important things we have in life. And God, on this time of Mother's Day, it makes us realize how important someone is to us in our lives. And God, how important our mothers are and the people you put around us. And so, God, let us realize that today is about relationships and today is about family. And God, let us learn how to have a family of faith and how we can grow our children and grow people around us to be believers in you and dedicate themselves to you. God, we thank you for this special day, God. We set aside to say that this is about mothers and we appreciate them. We pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. And so what we have to realize is this, is the people that we allow into our family, the people that we allow into our children's lives, they have an impact on them. They have an impact on it. Children are like sponges. They soak up whatever they get close to, and that's whether it's bad or good. And so, you know, it's something that we need to guard ourselves. You know, I run into people, it's become familiar now to say, well, I don't want to force anything on my kids. I want them to make up their own mind. Listen, that might be good for a lot of things, but that's not good when it comes to Christianity. Amen? You need to train your child the way they should go. So it should be some things that we're going to see today. These should be some things that are on the front burner. These are things that you just leave and maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not. What they believe about God is important. Because he's why we're here. He's the reason that we have a breath in our lungs, and he's the whole purpose of the creation that we're living in, and we need to understand it. And there's all kinds of things out there buying for that, trying to pull your kids away, trying to pull us away from those things, and we need to keep bringing kids back to the truth, And the people that you associate with, the people that you bring around your family has a big impact on what they're going to see and how they're going to see it, okay? And we need to realize that, especially when it comes to a church, especially when it comes to the people that we're around a lot, okay? So as parents, we try and keep our children around healthy, holy people that can influence them. Here's that word, influence them in a positive way. All of us are making something in life. I went out to Transitions this last week and talked to those girls. And every time I go out and talk to those girls, I talk about influences versus image. And so a lot of people, all they're about in life is about an image. That's why they dress like they do. That's why they have the things they do. That's why they do all these things. We make up and all these things trying to have this image. Well, the Bible tells us to be an influencers, that we're to influence. And so what you need to realize is the people you're bringing into your family, you're bringing around your life, you need to realize they're making an influence on people around you. They're saying something about you. It tells us something about that. You know, you tell me who your friends are, it tells me a whole lot about you, okay? So we have to understand it. So and we want people around our kids that have influences in a positive way. And so we have to understand our children are a gift from God. They're, you know, they're God's. They're not ours, okay? And so they're a gift from God, and we have to understand it. And we have, and here's the word that people don't like, we have a responsibility to protect and provide for them. It's our responsibility. God's given them to us, but they're our responsibility to mold and shape them in the people that God wants them to be. And so we have to understand that. So how do we have a family of faith? How do we instill that in our children? Because so much is fighting against that now. I watch so much news, and I'm a news buff. I don't watch as much as I used to because it's so negative now. But I watch a lot of Christian news. I'm on the internet a lot, and so I watch a lot of things that's going on in the Christian world. And there's so much negativity about it, and so much ungodliness and anti-God in the world that we have today. And so we have to make sure that our kids are getting positive feedback. They're getting support. It's why it's so important to have them in church and have them around godly people and all the things that we do here for our children. I brag about our children program all the time. All the time. You know, I've tried to be more involved in some of those things. And so I went up on one Sunday morning. I didn't leave the church here, but Bob preached for me, and I went up to see our children's program. Let me tell you what, man, they have a great time up there. Amen. have a great time up there. And then on Wednesday nights, we have a big group here on Wednesday nights for our youth and our children. And we have so many good teachers and folks in here. Our church is blessed with having so many public school teachers here. And they're godly people, and they're pouring into your children even here at church. Not over in school, but they're limited what they can do in school, but also they're doing it here in the church. And it's so, I guess you'd say, refreshing to know, to walk into a school and walk in and look at some teachers and say, well, I know they go to church, and I know they're a believer, and I know they're a Christian, and I know they're a Christian. And so we're fortunate to be living in an area here where so many of our educators are Christian people. Amen? And they are making an influence on our kids. I want you to know that, okay? And they are making an influence on your kids here. I want you to know that. We have an excellent children. We have an excellent youth program here. And it's one of the reasons that this church has grown like it has, because of the things we have. And those are important times. They're very important times. You don't realize that till your kids begin to grow up and start leaving the house. Mona and I went through the shock of Adam moving off, and it was like, you know, well, I'm not going to have an influence on him like I used to. I'm not going to see him like I used to. I'm not going to get to talk to him like I do, okay? And now he's been gone 6 or 7 years now, and you realize that he has a whole group of friends that we know nothing about. He has a girlfriend we really don't even know. You know, we're just kind of praying and hoping everything works out. We don't even know him as much as we did before. So in those formative years, you need to be pouring into your children's life. In those youth years, in those teen years, you need to be pouring in your kids' life, because they're going to be challenged when they walk out into the world. They're going to be challenged about what you've taught them and about what they believe. Brother Nathan don't seem too smart anymore when you get around a bunch of folks got PhDs, okay? But listen, that doesn't make us dumb, okay? It means we just believe the Bible, and we've chosen by faith to believe in God's Word. And there's evidences for that, and we try to preach things like that. I preach a lot about the Bible. I preach a lot of apologetics. Because why? Because we're being challenged about what we believe, and we have to understand that. Listen, you don't have to check your brains at the door to believe in God. Amen? You need to realize that. Smart people believe in God. And used to, most people that were educators and whatever, they were godly people. Today it's gotten to be where it's unpopular to believe that. But that's just the way the world's going. That doesn't mean that they're right. So how do we have a family of faith? Well, the first thing here, here's some familiar things you've heard before. The first thing is you need to pray together. You need to pray. You do not need to be ashamed to let your children see you pray. And you need to bring them into those prayers. You need to let them. And one of the biggest things you can do is pray around meals. You need to pray around meals. You need to bow your head. I don't care where you're at or what you're doing. You need to be bowing your head. It's so, I was sitting in a restaurant the other day, and whoever I'm with, we always pray. And so anyway, I looked around, and as I'd watched people come in, I wasn't looking for it, but I knew I was going to preach this sermon, but I wasn't looking for it. But all of a sudden, I saw this couple pray, and I looked over, and I saw another couple pray, and I saw another couple pray, and I said, you know, praise God that we have some people that are not ashamed to pray in public. Amen? And so about 3 or 4, it's probably 15 people in that restaurant, and out of that group, I saw 4 different groups of us pray before we ate our food. You need to let your children see you do that. You need to pray before we leave. Mona and I, before we left in our car, we had our car, we'd go on a trip or whatever, we'd pray before we left and say, God, watch over, protect us. Your kids need to see you, that you're depending on Him. Listen to what it says in James 5 and verse 16 here. It says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What's it saying? It's saying prayer works. It's saying prayer is important, and you need to understand it, and you need to teach it to your children. And we need to let our children see us that we're dependent on God. The whole philosophy of world is we mature, we become independent. But the whole philosophy of Christianity is we become closer to God, we're more dependent on Him. So as I'm growing in Christ, I'm becoming more dependent, not independent of Him. And it's just opposite of what the world is. You have your children, you're growing them up, okay? You're trying to potty train them. That's a big thing, okay? If you ever had children, you know what I'm talking about. Then you send them off to school, and you're teaching them how to read and write, and then you're teaching them how to drive, and you teach them how to do a bank account and how to live out on their own. So everything you're doing through life, you're trying to kick them out of the house as quick as you can, okay? Get them on their own. But that's not the way it is in Christianity. Christianity is showing us what? The more that we understand God, the more we know God, the more dependent we are on God. And so we become more dependent. And so it's just opposite of the world. That's why it confuses people all the time. And so they need to know that we don't have life all figured out, but we need God in our lives. And so many of the times, especially when you come from a pastor's home, that, you know, your kids begin to think, man, you've got it all figured out, and, it's just, you know, we don't, it's kind of like you're just, you know, anything you've got, a time you've got a question, you've got an answer for it. And I'm one of these, I'll give you an answer, it might not be the right one, but I'm going to tell you something, okay? Now, sometimes I don't know, that's the best answer I have sometimes, but that's what we have. So, but sometimes that you, they see that you don't feel like you have a dependency on God, but that's not true. We need to let our kids know that we do depend on God. And praying sends a signal. It sends a message to our children that we know God and we're dependent on God and we need His power and we need His help to make it in life. And prayer should show our acknowledgement of God and show how much we're thankful for the things that we have. Everything we have in life comes from God. We have to realize that. He's given you the ability to do what you do, to work like you do, to think like you do, to have the things you have. And we need to realize that. So it shows how much we love Him and how much He's blessed us. And we give praise to Him, okay? And that leads us into the second thing. The next thing is we need to study the Bible together. Deuteronomy lays it out for us very simply. It tells us here, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." That's a big thing because, you know, in that culture and even in our culture today, there's a lot of people who believe in multiple gods, okay? And so it says He's one. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And then He tells us, what do we do with God's Word? Here he's talking about God. And then He gets into God's Word. And then he tells us what to do. He says, "These commandments I give you today to be set up on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you are set at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gateways." I'd say he's saying Scripture's pretty important. Look what he tells you to do. He's saying impress, talk about. And he tells us what? He says tie them, bind them, and write them. He's saying it should be displayed. When I walk into your home, you know, this should be some things on your wall, some things sitting on your, it should be some godly things. It should be some signs or some scripture verses or things like that, reminding us of how important God is, okay, and include that in your life. And then he tells us, he says, when are we to do this? He uses when several times. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up is what he says. He's telling us that we need to be doing this all the time. We're looking for opportunities. When you're talking about God and the things of God, you don't have to make up opportunities. They'll just come along to you. I mean, you have something go wrong in your life. Let's pray about that, you know. Or there's something, you got a problem in your life or something like that. They ask you a question. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Listen, man, we're so fortunate to be living in the world of electronics, and we can Google everything, okay? If we don't know it, just Google it, okay? And Google something about what does the Bible say about this? I do it all the time, okay? And what does the Bible say about this? What does that mean? And good commentaries and things like that. I read this morning that Warren Wiersbe died. Some of you folks don't even know Warren Wiersbe. He died Thursday. Man, we owe him so much. You owe him so much. You've heard a lot of Warren Wiersbe's messages, okay? And he is so easy to teach from, such a great biblical scholar. And he passed away Thursday. And we're so thankful for men like him that's written down things. It's helped to teach us to teach other people how to be godly, okay? And so we study the Bible together. The Bible is the truth in the world of lies. And it's ours. It's important to us because because it says so book. You know, when our boys are growing up and they'll say a lot of things, they'll ask you something, and you tell them an answer. Well, why? Because the Bible says so. There's a lot of things in life. It's just because that's the truth, and where the truth comes from is the Word of God. See, I don't make up truth. I repeat truth. All we are is messengers of the truth. Now, I have my own opinion about things, and my opinion might not matter to you, but God's opinion ought to, okay? And so when it says Scripture, then a lot of times when I would direct my boys to not do something or to do something, what I was saying is this is what the Bible teaches, this is what the Bible says, and that's why you should do it, because God says that, amen? And it ought to carry some more weight in your home when God says that. And sometimes you need to sit down and show your children what the Bible says about certain things. And what does the Bible tell us? First of all, God tells us God made us, okay? It tells us God loves us and God wants us and God has a plan for our lives. And I'm important and my life matters to God. What I do matters to God. It makes a difference to Him. And that should we should impress those things on our children because, one, that's how they begin to live life in a godly manner. You know, why do we keep doing the right thing rather than the wrong thing? It's because we feel responsible to God. And we realize that it matters to God, and when it matters to God, it should matter to us. And we should want it for our families, and we should want it for the people that are around us. The third thing it tells us to do, it tells us to worship together. We have a tendency now that people are not worshiping together. I saw an interview the other day with someone, and they were telling us that, well, it's so much preaching on TV, there's so much on the radio now that I don't go to into a congregation of people anymore, but I just listen to it on the radio. I listen to it on TV. And Adrian Rogers, you should call him Bedside Baptist. They just lay in bed and watch him, and he'd tell you, get out of bed and go to church somewhere, okay? And that's what any good preacher on TV or radio will be telling you. Because why? Because this means something to us. This means something to us. Because why? Because we're going to have difficult times. God knew that we were going to need a support group. And that's what the church is. It's a support group. It's a family. It's a group of people that come together that's experiencing life together. And we need to see some like-minded people here. Let me tell you what. We have some excellent families here. Excellent families. We're so blessed. We have so many young families here today. And it is such a blessing to see them wanting to raise their children in a godly home. I mean, we have some families here in this church that are really some godly people. They do read the Bible. God is important in their life. They do spend time in prayer with their families. And so some of these things I'm just mimicking, I'm just telling you that what some of you already know and you're already doing it. Sometimes I get close, when you have a congregation, you don't get to know everybody, as close as you'd like to. But when you get a little time away from somebody a lot of times and you begin to talk to them and you begin, I want you to realize that we've had some people here in this church that are really serious about God. Amen. They're really serious about raising their families in a godly way. And this is important to them. And it's so refreshing me now that I'm in my 50s to see that there's families coming in behind us that were doing the same thing we were trying to do. We were trying to do the same thing. And a lot of times you feel like you're alone out there, especially when you're young couples and you have young families. It's like you're doing this all alone, because especially if you're going to the public schools and you're around other in your workplaces and things, you see there's so few people are trying to raise their families in a godly way. That means something. And church says, what? We're in this together. And there's some folks here that believe like you do. There's people here that are having the same difficulties and the same problems, and we need each other to help. And so we do what? We worship together. In Psalms 95 and verses 6 and 7, it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people of His pasture and the flock under His care." So it's telling us who we are. We're here today to worship God. We're here today to lift Him up and let our children know and let other people know that He is worthy of all that we do for Him and all that we say. And we worship what's bigger than we are and more important than we are. And He's above us, and we are to answer to Him, and we're to respect Him. And worship says that. Worship lets them know that we know that we're not number one and we're not the center of the universe. And they're not either, okay? God is, and our life is to revolve around Him and make sure that He is the one worshiped and not we or this world. And so coming to church teaches our children that God is worth the trouble we go through to get up. And He's the first, He is in first place in our lives, and we put other things aside because we want to worship Him. Every one of us in this room, we've got somewhere else probably to be here in a little while, okay? Family events, going out to eat, things like that. Every one of us in this room could have went somewhere else today, okay? There's a lot of other things that you could have been doing, but it says something when you show up to church. It says something to the people that live around you. It says something to your friends and to your families. And it certainly says something to your children that you take you go through the trouble to get up and get them ready, screaming and kicking sometimes, and drag them to church, okay? Now you hear a lot of people say, well, I had a drug problem when I was a child. My parents drug me to church. Well, if you got to drag them anyway, okay? And that's just how life is sometimes. I mean, Mona and I experienced that. I mean, I used to be a youth pastor at Westside and Halls, and we called the bridges in between Dyersburg and Halls Cry Baby Bridge, because every time we got to them, one of them was crying. But that time it's screaming and hollering. It's like, oh, And so I was a youth pastor. It's like, oh, I'm ready to worship now. Just let me get out of the car. And that's just kind of, if anybody feel my pain, I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it seems like it's a battle to get to church. You ever realize that? It's like a battle. And, you get up and get into school at 8 o'clock, but why does 10 o'clock and 10:30 seem so early on Sundays? It's just like, it's just a struggle to get here. But you need to realize you have a force fighting against you. The devil is real, amen? And he's fighting against us. He don't want you to be here. He don't want your kids to hear truth. He don't want your kids to hear the Bible. He don't want that. He wants to make it difficult. And he will. He'll do that to fight you off and keep you in bed if he can. And you have to fight through that and get up and worship anyway. And our children need to see that worship is important to us, the church is important to us, and your children know what's important to you in your life because they see what you're committed to. What matters to you? They see what matters to you because that's where you're spending your time. That's where you're spending your finances on. That's where you're spending your talents on. They need to see that in our lives. They need to see us fight through the difficulties of life and come worship anyway. The fourth thing is we need to serve together. In Matthew 8 and 28 here, listen to what it says. It says, just as. Now, you ought to have that in a circle or something. It says, just as. So here's an example for you. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. Now, who is that Son of Man they're talking about? Jesus, right. He's talking about Jesus. He's saying, just as Jesus, that's what he's saying here. He's saying, he's our example. And he says, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's just the opposite of what the world teaches us. It teaches us that the people that are important, they're the ones that's being served, okay? And the folks that are doing the serving, they're on the bottom. That's how the world sees it. But what God sees is what? The more people we serve, the bigger we are, okay? And the more important we are because we're serving people. And the world doesn't see it that way. And so we do what? We serve together as a family. We teach our children that also, that we serve Him because as we serve other people, our life is to be given away. I say this a lot. You're two types of people in the world, givers and takers. Which one are you? You know, you'll never be more like Jesus than when you're giving yourself away. You're giving your life away. You're giving your time away. You're giving the things that God gives you back to Him by giving them to other people and working your life out through Him. And so at Mount Vernon, we try to give you opportunities. That's one of the biggest things in my life is I try to get the church outside the church. We're not a come and see, we're a go and tell church, and I want you to know that. I encourage you to get out into other ministries and not just be a part, just this what is in this church. Is the ministries of this church important? Sure they are. And do we need people to help in this church? Sure we do. Always need that, okay? But let me tell you what, there's a lot of good things outside this church, amen? And we need to be a part of those. We want to make a Christian influence outside this church. And so we do things. We did the mission blitz here not long ago. We tried to make it as easy as for you as you could. It wasn't going to cost you anything. It wasn't going to cost you a little time. Show up, man, just bring your families and, you know, get involved in that. Just to be able to serve other people and help other people. We have the jail ministry here. We have people that are involved in transitions in Damascus. We have people that are involved in life choices. We have a lot of different things here that a lot of people are doing that many of you know nothing about because, one, you're not involved in those things. But what? Find things in the community that you can get involved in. They need Christian influence. Amen? Why is the world in the shape it's in today? It's because the Christians have pulled back and just put themselves in a little box and say, this is where we do our God thing here. But we need to do our God thing out there too. Amen? And we need to you need to teach your children that. Be involved in those things and get involved in those things. And I applaud you. I want to know what you're doing. I'm always blessed if somebody come up and say, I'm serving on a board, or I'm over here doing this, or I'm over here doing this, and I'm ministering to people outside the church. I applaud you in doing that and being a part of those things. And we have to understand it. That's important. And our children need to understand that also. We need what? The church needs to be seen, and also it needs ministry in the church, but it also needs to be recognized in the community. It needs to be recognized in the world around us as being a part of what God's doing. That's where we're His hands and feet at the most is when we leave this building, not when we just come in, and we need to realize that. And the last thing is I like to include this here too. And this is something I probably didn't do enough of. I did some of it, but not enough of it. You know, Mona homeschooled our boys, and so I always had two or three things going on. I would come home from work and put on another hat and take off again, that's just kind of how our life was. And so, but one thing I understood is I understood how it was important to be involved in our family's life and in our boys' lives. And so I coached teams, we did things, we had all these things going, but Mona was primary, the person that was raising the kids is because she was there all the time. They were homeschooling and things like that, so she spent a lot of time with them. But the last thing is play together. Learn how to play together. Make Christianity exciting. It doesn't have to be boring, you know. You can still have fun and be a Christian, and your kids need to see that, okay? Your kids need to see that. We did some crazy things. We had a little pop-up campers. We have four boys, and they're all 2 years apart. Adam's, 29, and I think Stephen's, he's fixed to turn 23 this week. And so they're all 2 years apart. So we had a pop-up camper, and you can imagine six people in a truck, and that's what we had, a truck. And so we just put us all together, and we just take off, and we just say, well, we don't know where we're going. We're just going to go somewhere. And there's one, we went for 2 weeks a couple of times where we'd stay one place one night, and we'd leave and go somewhere else. And so we become experts in that popping up campers thing. Man, we did a lot of rolling around, okay? I like it spontaneous stuff like that at times. I don't like it as much anymore, but I used to anyway. But we had a good time, and my boys could probably tell you one of the favorite times theirs was when we went camping and did all those things. And we were strunged together, and it didn't seem that much fun at the time, but now we go look back on it. It was a lot of good times, and we had some fun, and we played together. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 tells us this. It says, fathers, do not exasperate, and that means irritate. Don't be an irritation to them. Don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. So don't provoke them and learn how to play with your kids and enjoy life. Make a godly life fun. Enjoy laughing a lot and being involved as parents. And even later, be their friends as they get to be young men. One of the hardest things to do is transition from being dad to being a friend. I'm in that transition now. Now my boys are men. But still, first of all, I want to be the preacher, okay, and that's what I am a lot, and so they want me to take the preacher cap off, and that's hard to do. But then, even when they get older, they really want you to take the dad cap off, because all of a sudden, what they're really needing a friend. And so if they're needing somebody that they can come to without judging them, if they can ask those questions about life about it, and they can get an answer that they know it's not just going to be a dad answer or a mom answer, but it's going to be an answer that, you know, you're trying to help them. You want the best for them, which that's what moms and dads should be doing anyway, okay? They'll figure that after they have kids, okay? But a lot of times until they have kids, they haven't got that figured out yet. And so you're trying to become a friend. And you're trying to let them know that you're still there for them, even though your relationship might be a little different now because they're grown. And also, make sure you make church fun. We never had to drag our boys to church most of the time. I've been fortunate that all the churches we've served in they've had fun. We've had fun. We had Awanas in two of them, and Awanas was really fun. And our boys, some of the best times of our lives have been at the church. Some of our best friends are at the church, you know. Some of our boys' best friends, they met at the church. That's where our family, that was the center of our lives, was a church. And so we wanted it to always be a positive experience. I tell our children's program people, I don't say as much as I used to, listen, I know that we have kids coming here, and they're not going to listen to a thing you say or anything, but one thing I want them to know before they walk away from here is that God loves them and this church loves them. Amen? And a lot of people will come back to that. Because why? Because everybody needs to be loved, and they need to feel loved. I went to church for years, and I was raised in a little church. It didn't have much going on, didn't have a children's program. You know how it was back in the 60s and 70s. It's kind of, you know, I was drugged to church, okay? I mean, literally, it's like, I don't want to go, you know. But I was drugged to church, and I didn't hardly listen to a thing they had to say. I mean, it was don't do this and don't do that. Quit, stop, you know, don't chew, don't, you couldn't write, couldn't you, you know, so. So that's about what I remember. So as soon as I could, I got out of church. So I was out of church for 6, 7, 8, 9 years maybe before I ended up, you know, getting saved, getting in trouble and getting saved and then getting back in church. And that's one thing I didn't want for our kids. I wanted our kids to see coming to church was a positive experience. And it was fun. You can learn and still have fun. Amen? You learn more when you're having fun. And so that's what I want for this church. I want you to come and enjoy our church. I don't want that just for our children. I want it for our teens, and I want it for our adults also, that we enjoy coming here. We get to be here. That you're looking forward to coming and showing up and talking. And when you stand around after church and you talk to people and say, because you enjoy being together and being a part of the church and part of other people's lives in the church. And we need to realize that. I was walking out Wednesday, and it was funny. I don't know. Mike Nix was. I was walking out, getting ready to go to home, and Mike Nix was walking by, and he was carrying, walking with Jay Bless and Diver, and I could tell that they had this mad look on their face. And I asked Mike. I said, "Well, Mike, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, they don't want to go home." And I'm thinking, he says, like, that's a bad thing. And I'm thinking, well, man, that's a good thing, you know, which they was over there playing basketball, okay? But it was like, well, they wasn't ready to go home. That's a good thing, okay? That's a good thing. I didn't say, well, man, you better be thankful for that, okay? I didn't say anything like that. But after I walked off, I just started smiling and thought, man, I'm glad to hear that, okay? I mean, they didn't want to go home, you know. Can't wait to get there, okay? Man, that's a good thing for your kids to be saying about the church, okay? And realize that. So make it fun. Make a positive experience out of it while they're learning about the Lord. Because, listen, Christianity can be fun. there was a time in my life where I was so messed up and so screwed up that I didn't think if I wasn't out here doing something illegal or immoral, I didn't think life could be fun. I mean, that was my mindset. That's just how I thought. But then after I got saved and got into church and I began to get around Christian people and we hunted together and we camped together and we fished together, I realized that, man, I don't have to do those things to really enjoy life. And really what I've learned now is I enjoy life much more on this side than I ever did on that side. See, I was trading trash for treasure. And what the treasure is when we're living the Christian life. And we need to teach our kids, and they need to see that in our homes. We need to be the home they want to come to. They need to be the place that they want to be a part of and be a part of the family, because they know that they're loved and they're cared for there and they can enjoy life there. And so in closing, let's say this. How are you doing as a family of faith? How are you doing? Some of you are like Mona and I are. Our boys are in their 20s now, and so a lot of our influences is gone from them, okay? Some of you are in the teen years, and you're just holding on, okay? You're just kind of holding on right now, okay? We've been there and done that too, okay? Let me tell you, it does get better. It does get better, okay? They say when grandkids come along, that's when it is. But then some of you are in the children's age, and man, you're just, like I said, you're just kind of, just kind of keeping your head above water right now. You're just different phases of life, but this is what my famous saying is, this too will pass, okay? This too will, whatever stage, this too will pass. And realize this, when you look back at those stages of life, you'll miss them. You'll miss them. You won't realize that now, but you miss your kids being young. You'll even, maybe sometimes, miss your kids being teenagers. And then even in their young adults, you'll miss some of those things like that. So we'll miss those things. So don't wait in life to where you think that when they get to this age or this stage in life, I'm going to enjoy it more. Enjoy them where they're at right now, okay? And learn how to do that. And we as parents need to understand that. So how are you doing as a family of faith? The lesson to learn is we need God's help. You're going to find that out. If you're a mother or you're a dad, you're going to realize, man, you're going to depend on a whole. It's going to be a lot of talking to God, okay? And then the application is our responsibility is to point them to God. You have a response. Don't never let anybody tell you that it's not your responsibility to point them towards God. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Deuteronomy says. You got so many snowflakes out here say, well, I'm going to let my kids make up their own mind. Well, let them eat what they want to all the time, too, and see how that works for you, okay? Let them wear what they want to all the time, see how that works for you, okay? But when it comes to religion, well, I'm going to let them make up their own mind. Well, that's a scary thought, because there's a lot of crazy things out there. We're getting ready to do a series on Wednesday nights, and the title of it is The World According to Oprah, okay? So we're going to... we're going to do a series. We're going to do a video series on Wednesday night starting here in a couple of weeks, and it's The World According to Oprah and Her Friends. And so come and check that out, and you'll see how a scary world. And hey, a lot of people think Oprah, man, she's just one step down from Jesus, okay? And so come and check that out, and you'll see what kind of a scary world that we're living in today, okay? But God bless you, moms. Thank you for being here. And the biggest thing I'm saying today is point them toward Jesus Christ. Although you might not have the answers, He does. Amen? And that's what they need to know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this special time that we set aside each year to be thankful for our moms. I'm thank you for a mom that carried me to church, tried to instill things in my life that was godly. God, we got away from that from time to time, but God, we all do. But God, I thank you that I had a solid enough foundation in my mom and my grandparents and other people in my life that God kept me thinking about you at least, even in the dark times of my life. And I thank you for that. Let us now as parents, let us as grandparents, let us as a family, a church, let us be people of God, that we're lifting you up high. We're lifting the Lord Jesus up high as a banner and showing our kids and our grandkids how important you are in our lives. And we do that every day of our lives by how we talk about you, how we live for you, how we read your word, how we pray to you. They're soaking all those things up and they're watching us and we're making an impression on them. Let it be an impression for you. God, and the most important thing we can do is tell them how to be saved and letting them know that they need to accept you as their Lord and Savior before it's too late. God, help us understand that, God, their salvation to some degree is our responsibility because we're influencing them and giving them, helping them understand how truthful the Word of God is and how important a life of salvation means to them, God. So let us understand that, and we give you thanks, Lord, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you why. You're missing out as a mom and a dad if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because why? He is your helper. Amen. The Bible says when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and He is our helper to help us make right decisions and help us to make influences for our kids. And so maybe today you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today is the day of your salvation. Or maybe you need to come up here and pray for something. Maybe you need to pray for your kids or your grandkids. They've gone astray. We all have that happen in our families and in our lives. Sometimes, even in my life, I did that, okay? I'm sure my mother offered up a lot of prayers for me, and I put a lot of gray hair on her head, I'm sure, okay? But that was just part of my life, and I got out, okay? And thank God she prayed me back in and brought me to be the man I am today, okay? And so maybe that's what you need. Or maybe you need Mike or I to pray with you or for you about something going on in your life. But whatever your need is, you come today, okay? This is invitations from God to you. You come. Let's all stand.